we have a new guest in the studio. We have Robert Mark. He's a 35-year aviation industry thought leader. I love that, thought leader. You wrote that, by the way. I want you to know that.
I think I did, actually.
Yeah, you did. He's chief executive officer of ComAvia, which is the publisher of an aviation blog named Jetwine.com. And he's also editor of AIN Safety, which is a weekly aviation safety magazine published by Aviation International News. He's authored books and...
Working on another one right now.
Yeah,
so,
I've seen you on TV, commentary for,
won
you know,
CNN
awards.
And Fox.
Won some awards, exactly, exactly. Yeah. Well, anytime
I'm
airplanes...
I'm about ready to die. There's really nothing left to do, so...
Not even close. We can see him. If you're looking on the webcam, you can see the guy's in perfect health. Not a problem. Rob, how are you?
Well, I'm just dandy, Amy. I haven't seen you here since last year. I mean, but we chat all the time because we're in some of the same circles and we know some of the same people. And Magneto Mel, we don't travel in the same circles, but I'll bet
I think we might. We just
might.
Don't run into each other as much.
Yeah,
we'll
I
have
mean,
to do something
about
that.
Nobody talks to anybody in person anymore. We all do it on email or texting or
That's
Facebook
not really true.
Or,
every now and again, I'm an old-fashioned girl, and every now and again, I will pick the phone up and I will call you. You know that.
That's true. Okay. Yes.
I
yes.
will call you.
But do you write?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I do.
That's all we do.
I never write anymore.
I even do thank you cards, but that's neither here nor there. Rob, tell me, what are we whining about this week? And I use that in reference to
jet
wine. Wine. Yeah.
I was whining. Well, in fact, that other button that I gave you there, the Aviation Minute, is a kind of a editorial show we do. It's an audio now, and we do that every other week, and we kind of grab a topic that is interesting in the industry and kind of whine about that. So, you know, Jetwine's the text, and of course that is more audio. But this week I was actually whining about FOQA. I don't know if anybody ever heard of that, but it's a data system that they collect operational numbers and things from commercial airliners, and they look at safety trends and they try to predict what might happen so that they can prevent accidents from happening. And I just happened to think, when I was doing some of that work with the Malaysian 17 accident recently, I said, you know, we ought to do that in GA. I know there are pieces of equipment that will gather the data on some of these airplanes now, but nobody's doing anything with it. You know, nobody wants to really look at it or analyze it or look for those trends, big privacy issues. But I just said I think it's a lost opportunity because we're trying to get the accident rate down in general aviation, and it just seemed like a no-brainer to me. But some of the comments I got were not real friendly. So about, you know, the privacy issues and people not wanting to share. And so, you know, there you go.
Well, but I have a problem with that because... This data is stripped of the identifiers.
The airline data is, yes.
Yeah.
And
so why not the GA?
Well, that seemed like a no-brainer to me. I mean, but you know what? We're not that well organized yet. And I'm going to go over to the Gamma folks later and talk to Kate about that, because she's kind of a GA safety lady. And I said, why don't we do this? And people were saying, I thought somebody was doing it, but we're not. So I don't know, maybe
everybody thinks someone else is doing it.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that could be. And that's kind of what the Aviation Minute's about. We kind of look at things that people don't really think about and just kind of get them thinking. And that's kind of the point of it. But, you know, of course, that's only one of the many things that people like you and I that have to still work for a living. And I still have a daughter in college, and I think yours are out of college, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. And it's, I don't know if you have kids or, let me tell you, when you have to put them through college, what you find out is you never saved enough money, ever, ever.
I believe that.
And and so I'm going to probably work until the day my head hits the table. But it is really exciting to be up here, I think. And I just met two really interesting folks. I met your last guest, Abington from the Watch Company, and a fellow that's doing this film tonight about the World War One naval flyers, and over at the whatever the blow up theater is. Over
yes,
there.
the flying. Theater, right?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
that's,
fly in.
But you know, that's there's so many stories. There are so many little niches of aviation that you meet people. You just run into them, and you start chatting, and people are so friendly up here. They'll tell you their life story, and you go, "Wow, that is really cool." And that's what I think a lot of us do with social media in aviation is that we try to find those stories and present them to a lot of people that might not have the opportunity to come to this show and kind of share that with them.
Well, and those stories, that's data too. That's something that we can use. It's more what we call qualitative as opposed to anecdotal, but there's a lot to be learned in that, and you can pull out common threads and then determine, you know, kind of what direction you need to go in other you know, other purviews.
Sure, we all have those scary moments. I don't think I've ever had a scary moment as scary as when you broke your airplane. But
at the time, it wasn't scary. So that's the interesting part.
Well, you know, every pilot I know says that's had an emergency of some kind, and people say, "Were you scared?" And you go, "You know, I wasn't at the time."
You don't have time.
You do what you're training. It's like when the guys put the Airbus in the Hudson. Mm-hmm. They just went into motion, and you know, if you listen to the audio of that cockpit, I mean, there was very little chatter. They just did this and that. Said we're going in the water, and that was it. And it's amazing because all your training takes over, even though you think you're never going to be ready, but you do, and it's later you go, "Oh my God."
That's exactly right. And you know this from both sides of it, because you've both been an air traffic controller, and you've flown commercially.
Yeah, that's right. And I flew business jets for a long time, too. So it's really been a lot of fun. And that's why we do some of the communications work we do, because it was hard for companies. We work with airports and companies, small businesses. It was hard for them to find somebody that understood the communication side of it, but also understood the aviation business. So it's a lot of fun, actually. And then I get to come up here for a couple of days and goof off and meet you guys. And
so what's the coolest thing you've seen so far?
This year. Well, since I only got here yesterday, I can't say that there's been a super cool thing that I've seen yet. I know where I'm going when I leave after lunch today. I want to go see the glass, the 3D glass guys. I can't. What's the name of that company?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw them doing their prototype last year.
I saw them yesterday, and apparently you can project all this cool stuff on your these glasses
that you wear.
Yeah,
it's like the Google Glass
for the
cockpit.
Wear them while you're flying, and I just think that's pretty cool. So.
So what you're talking about is a HUD.
You know, essentially, that really is. Yes, that's absolutely true.
And I would call it the year of the HUD, from the different kinds of light aircraft technologies, from something as simple as putting a transparent reflective tape, then having the lights for like an AOA that would actually reflect onto it. So your eyes can be out here, which is really the only place they should be on landing when an AOA might be useful, or on takeoff, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be down here at the EFIS looking at your AOA,
no.
Right?
And when you've flown with a HUD, which is that glass panel that a pilot kind of looks through, and you see all that information projected.
Right. We'll decode that heads-up device display.
Yeah. Get your HUD out or something, they say. I don't know. It makes you wonder why you ever learned to fly looking down at all these instruments. And for those of us that fly, we had to learn that instrument scan of getting your eyes looking all over the damn cockpit. And then you wondered why some of them didn't do so well trying to keep the airplane upright. But this is really cool, of course, until it breaks.
Yes.
Yes,
because
it's the old...
Well, and that's,
automation
and that's where that training, you know, you need to make sure hopefully that you keep up on that so that
that's,
kicks in.
That's
well,
absolutely
that's
true.
That's a controversy, too, because there are people out there now saying that we shouldn't teach pilotage anymore. Now, I know how I feel about that. What do you think?
Well, you know what's really bad when you sound like you come down on that side, because I'm on the side you guys are. You say, you sound like you're really old. You're just being an old fuddy-duddy. You're not keeping up with the times. And I love the technology. I think it is great. But even when I teach, because I still teach people to fly, too, I work in the Cirrus because I'm a Cirrus instructor. And when I turn the technology off and they have to look out the window, and I say, well, what's the power setting to do pattern work? And they go, without the instruments? You go, yeah. Because what are you going to do if the instruments break? Yeah, but they don't ever break. Well, hardly ever. Yeah, but what if you're in there the one time it does? See? And that's the problem with not learning pilots is you have nothing to fall back on. And that's where I think we're making our mistake. And we've seen that with a look at this crazy Asiana accident. I mean, they had the Vazi right out there staring at them, telling them they were low. And they all just sat there. We don't know why, but they didn't do anything.
Well, they actually even had a third pilot going, you appear to be low. Now you appear to be really low. And they didn't listen to that either.
No,
so, what can I say about that?
That's right. So.
We've been speaking with Rob Mark, who is an aviation safety
geek.
Rob, where can people find you online if they want more information?
They can find us certainly at jetwine.com. Mm-hmm. Comavia.com is another one.
Excellent.
I co-produce the Airplane Geeks. So there's airplanegeeks.com and I don't know, and Facebook and Twitter, I'm on Jetwine, and I don't know, every place else.
Hey, Google Robert Mark, aviation safety. And
if somebody else comes
come up,
let me know.
That's exactly right. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on Attitude Adjustment
today.
Thank
you. I feel better now.